Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you're listening. Bienvenidos, ¿qué tal? Namaste, Oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. Live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX. My name is Will Green. Holding down one half of our hosting duties, holding down the other half. Some call him the Lions Historian, others call him Unc. I simply call him my best friend. He's my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? How you doing tonight? Hey, Papa.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm dealing with frustration. I don't want to say depression, you know, but frustration with some of the news that has transpired since last we met, you know, on the Greenhouse Effect. You know, I mean, not everything, you know, some things though are like, man, what's going on? You know, I mean, like a lot of, quite a few, you know, celebrities have like, you know, kicked the bucket, you know, and yeah, I realize celebrities are, their lives are no more important than anybody else's. It's just that celebrities get more attention because they have more exposure. So people tend to take celebrity status a little bit more personal. At least that's how it seems to me. So, you know, like when I just look at folks that seem to have, you know, they seem to have the American dream going in their lives, whether they be, you know, actors or whether they be athletes and, you know, entertainers on some level. It just seems so distressing that things happen to them that seems like it could have been prevented with some kind of healthy intervention. Like Anne Hetsch, you know, I'm thinking if her only 50, I think 53, you know, she's brain dead because she ran her car into somebody's house and they found drugs in her system. But, you know, she was having a lot of mental health issues for several years. But I just think, you know, think about her as an actor and seeing her in certain movies that, you know, I enjoyed seeing her in, and only knowing her as a celebrity and not knowing her from a personal life standpoint, as it is with so many entertainers, athletes, heck, people in the spotlight in general. I mean, like even, you know, those from the pulpit who have recognizable names, and it just, or those from television like Oprah, you know, people who have the notoriety, but I only know them from their place of performance and have no clue as to how they really live their everyday life from day to day. Yeah, I know to get the scandal reports on them, of course, but the day-to-day way that they ration their way through lives, you know, the way they rationalize and approach and problem solve every day. And then I look at these folks that just died tragically from the celebrity point of view and realize, other than a place of entertainment, I have no idea how their regular lives really have been spent, you know? And it just seems so tragic that that's the case, you know, that they do all this stuff for notoriety, and then so many die in such obscure ways. You know, it's like, man, what's up with us? So that's, you know, that's one part of it. And then you posted something on Facebook, man, it just hurt me to my heart. You know, first of all, you know, everybody, I'm a native Chicagoan. I live in Texas now, in the Dallas area. But my you know, I left my home in Southside Chicago. that's where I am, man. But I read about what you posted about the public school system there and the most empty schools. You know, and I'm looking at the schools that I remember when I went to high, and these, like, schools like Manly. Man, Manly was one of the better schools you could go to. Student capacity is almost 1,300, and they only have student enrollment 64. That's like 5% of the schools being utilized. How, you know, Hirsch, I have family who graduated from Hirsch. You have cousins. You know, Hirsch on the south side. Almost 1,000 student capacity, and they only got 78 enrolled. How does a high school operate with only 78 students? I mean, I would think that is being faculty numbers. You know, it's like, no, yeah. I mean, man, that's just. Finger was one of the better high schools. Mm-hmm. You know, over 1,200 capacity, they only got 244. The thing that got me though. It's like, I'm looking at this thing you posted. How can that not be on the news? Not just locally, you know, nationally. This is epidemic proportion of a system that I bet Chicago is not alone in that. You know, I bet if it was something that was broadcast, we would find out the school system, public school systems in general, you know, in most major cities are going through the same thing. So that just kind of, you know, that just kind of stressed me out, man. You know, and then it's the other things, you know, the political scene. You know, Trump is still dominating the headlines. I still don't understand.
Still, man, I don't understand that either now. I mean, even at this point, I don't understand that at all. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it's all speculative. I mean, the news is selling me on the idea that these people, you know, Trump-backed. What in the hell does that have to do? what would it, you know, why are you even saying Trump back? Like, that matters, you know. Why can't it just be somebody running against somebody else? You know, I just, man, so that, anyway, man, it, you know, and then other things I was reading, like, you know, reading about the things that we kind of know already. When obtaining tenure, black women have never been underqualified, but mm-hmm. have always been overlooked.
Yeah.
You know, and of course that reminds me of my time, like in the 50s and 60s, when the issues of civil rights were still being wrestled with, you know. And I know that's not, I'm sorry, man, I'm going, this ain't what tonight's show is supposed to be about. But see, when you ask me how I feel, I don't know how to answer the question.
No.
You know.
Don't just stop. You just can't hit the brakes in the middle of your momentum, man. You're kicking it, man. You just broke another gear.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, 4 feet on the brake. Oh, man, no.
You know, the stuff of the 50s and 60s. I mean, you know, what is the point of looking at life if history is never considered? You know, why do we keep approaching, you know, everything like it's only what matters is right now, you know? And I get it. I know Zen says, you know, the past has already happened. The future has yet to be, you know, revealed. The only thing that matters is the present. Well, the present includes history to me. You know, the present is not an isolated event. The present is made up of everything that makes me up. I'm more than one day old, you know, and the only answers I have to the mystery of me is what the history of me dictates. So when I look at it from a societal perspective, the 50s and the 60s is what, you know, rings with clarity to me. And so when the great struggle for civil rights was on, you know, and not just black, you know, we're talking about all the issues of civil unrest, especially in the 60s. And when the whole thing of affirmative action began to gain momentum, and when the National Organization of Women began to gain momentum, and when white women were recognized, when women in general were recognized as minorities, well, of course, a minority status, and you know how I feel about that word, you know, mm-hmm. and black women are already a class of minority anyway. So it's like, you know, for status quo, for the whole issue of affirmative action, what people call leveling the playing field. You know, so white women, black men, and people in color in general, you know, all minority-based individuals. So suddenly now black men and black women, you know, are already, you know, dealing with this underclass treatment when it comes to equality with you know, employment issues. But now black men got to compete with a double standard, you know, not just black women as a minority, but being black as a minority. So it's like, you know, suddenly a black woman gets to fill two spaces with one hiring. And, you know, how does a black man compete with that? And then these issues start falling into the home. You know, and suddenly it becomes competitive, if not adversarial, you know, trying to land jobs. And, you know, the ongoing issue with so many, you know, black family arguments about, you know, black men, you know, like, you know, don't want to work, can't find work, whatever, you know, and black women having to do all the work and having to take on the misnomer or the identity of being strong, which almost always means, not said, but to me suggests she's having to be strong because he's weak, you know, or not even there, you know. And again, just things that pit us against each other, you know, and, yeah. and how the media just does a sneak attack that, you know, we gravitate to. So, you know, these things, and then, you know, like, so reading about, you know, when obtaining tenure, black women have never been underqualified but have always been overlooked. You know, born from the 50s and 60s at a time that, you know, is never discussed is how it even became, how it turned out to be so dysfunctional by design. And then looking at the public school system and how that can just decay and still never discussed and never connecting the dots, you know, with the reality of history. Look, Why would I want to go to a school as a young black male, a young black female, a young black person? Why would I want to go to a school that denies me my history? Why would I want to go to a school that don't teach me anything about me? Why would I want to go to a school that promotes the idea that if I get this education, even though this education doesn't have anything to do with my value system, that I'll be able to get a better job, even though the jobs I seek are the jobs that don't recognize me in the first place? You know, so if we don't connect the dots, and I look up and I read this thing, and if there's not an outcry of social justice, then where am I supposed to go with my issues? How can you have a school, you know, that operates in 5% capacity, that is on the west side of Chicago, that you know its student population is close to 100% black? And, you know, nobody, and I know you were in the very system and seeing the situation unfold right before your very eyes, you know, and still 10 years later, not a peep, you know, not a peep out of the school system itself. Instead, this idiot who is in charge of education, DeVos, says the whole thing should just be eliminated. Well, of course he would say that, you know, just like, you know, the school systems in Florida say, you know, you can't teach black history because it's contraindicated, meaning why traumatize white kids, you know, by setting them up to be, you know, perpetrators of the misbehaviors of their parents. Well, yeah, this is the way we deal with it in America. You know, we deal with it by not dealing with it, by invisibilizing an entire population of people, by doing what we've done since the beginning of existence in America, just deny them their history. If you deny them their history, they cease to exist. You know, I mean, they did it with Indians. You know, they did it with Asians. They did it with Muslims. They've always done it with black people since slavery. So why not do it today? You know, and it's just an amazing thing to me, just amazing, that you are invisibilizing me for having and accusing me of being lazy and shiftless and don't want to strive for my own well-being when you deny me the very thing that would help me to do it. You deny me my civil rights. You deny me the very thing that you say I didn't even want in the first place when I decided that being a slave is not who I'm going to be. You know, I have some other God-given rights that I don't know what you call it, but I'm going to go pursue it. Oh, you call it freedom. So I sought my freedom. I gained my freedom. And then you deny me my freedom, and you blame me for it. I sometimes the news just overwhelms me with this, you know, with this amazingly effective dysfunctional system that we live in. So, sorry about that, man. Let me get out the way so you can do your due diligence.
No need to apologize at all. Let's jump into the due diligence real quick, and I'm going to come back on some of what you said. So very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of every show, nearly the beginning of every show, we try to remind you. We remind you all a few things here. First of all, to grab a pen and pad, because as you see, our engagement starts immediately. And, you know, we always hope that your engagement with us starts also, you know, so we'll get into that in a second. But basically, we want to make sure that you have a pen and pad, a pencil and paper. We want to make sure you've got something to write with, the back of an envelope, a napkin, I don't know, whatever you got. We want to make sure that you've got something to write with, because you never know, through our discussions, there may be some things that you didn't know or some things you want to check out. Maybe you just want to take some notes. You got some questions. Or you got some comments. I don't know. We want to make sure you don't miss anything and that you just have something to write with. We're going to talk more about personal program. And one of the things we talked about is how we use writing as a part of our, me and Dad's personal program and the importance of writing. We'll get into that in a second. So it's good just to have something with you just in case. So grab some pen and pad. Hopefully you've got it by now, because I'm going to give you a couple other information, pieces of information here. You can engage with us on the show by calling in directly. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. Press 1 on your keypad if you're ready to jump on in and ask any questions, chime in, give us some positive feedback or comments, you know, but make sure it's positive. Press 1 on the keypad and that'll put your number in the queue, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. You can also engage with us in the chat room. You caught that, yeah. You can also engage with us in the chat room on the Blog Talk Radio site. I know lately we've been having some tech issues with the Blog Talk site in the chat room. Like usually our cousin Adam is in there, but I know he's been having some problems getting in the chat room. So if you're having some problems, we do apologize for it, but we appreciate your patience and your due diligence in trying to stay and support us. We do have the Facebook page open as well, Ye Old Facebook, as I call it. We have our event page set up. And I made sure that the discussion tabs are open for your comments and questions as well. Sometimes it may not be available, and I just realized that. So, you know, there's different ways you can hit us up and engage with us. So please, call in, type in. We'd love to hear from you. So there's just some ways you can chime in and engage with us. That's your due diligence from your friends here at the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. So, Dad, like I said, I just want to jump right in. I know I kind of breezed through that very quickly. I think that the millions and millions of listeners right now really already know how to engage with us. So you really hit on some big points. And I didn't think we were going to talk a lot about current events. But, you know, I said, yeah.
Me either.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's back to school time. But you brought up the post. You brought up the comment about the post. And what I showed and how student population is decreasing. And, I mean, I saw it pre-COVID. And then when COVID hit,
yeah.
You know, being in Chicago, they weren't prepared. I'm just going to be straight up with it. I mean, they weren't prepared for COVID. And wanting to do some remote learning, whereas they had the capacity to provide equipment for students, but then they didn't have it anymore. And then it just was a snowball effect. Students didn't have the ability to go online. They didn't have the equipment. They weren't going to the buildings. And you know how it is. Once that door is open, you're like, oh, you mean that I didn't have to go to school today and I'm not going to be held accountable? Then, you know, then that's it. You know, the doors are open and it's a free-for-all. That's what I see, in my opinion. You know, so like I said in my post, you know, you ask what's wrong in Chicago. You know, most of the kids that are committing some of these crimes in the city are juveniles. You know, and I think that this post, that these numbers reflect, you know, what's going on with the kids. They're not in school. What do you think they're doing? They're out here doing whatever they want to do. So I just, you know, I think that that's apparent as what's going on. You were saying also that, you know, well, I had a question actually. You know, it seems like sometimes we approach things or we are approaching things like they're new. But we've been dealing with some of the same issues for years. But then when it comes up again, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, for example, and I know some of you all that are listening are not from Chicago, but I'm just going to give a brief Chicago example. We've got this public train system we call the L. And for 50 years, the citizens on the south side of Chicago have asked that they expand the public transportation train system further south, and it has for 50 years, and it has not expanded. Suddenly there's this push to expand the train system, and everybody's like, oh yay, oh, you know, and it's like this is something old. And I'm sure that there are so many other examples and so many other things that we've even talked about on the show that it's old, but it ends up still being treated like it's something new, like it's something like all of a sudden, oh wow, we need to really address this problem. And then we address it and then nothing happens. You know, there's this, like you mentioned, that and with these school systems now in the teaching of history, denying the history and even refusing accountability as well. So yeah, there's all these other things that's going on, You know, and I also think about when we talk about education and the post that you refer to with black women that are overqualified for just being overlooked, you know, and then I think about, you know, your book, Dysfunctional by Design, and how I feel like, and I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how to put this without, I don't want to say step on your toes, but I feel like there's like this correlation between treatment, like you talked about in your book, and education. Like there's this Eurocentric treatment that they try to provide African Americans that doesn't fit into what we need, which is one of the problems in our society, such as education. Like we're still being forced to be put into this idea of curriculum through a Eurocentric idea, and it's not what's best for our kids. And I think that's evident in these numbers that I posted. I think that's evident in the post that you even made as far as the struggles that black women have had to deal with, and even black people in general and dealing with careers. Like we still got to be square figures trying to fit into a circle, a round peg, you know? I don't, did I say that right? You still with me? Daddy, oh, you still there? Okay, well, I guess he'll be back in a second. So
yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I was just trying to stay out of the way, so I had muted my phone. Yeah, go ahead. Square peg, round hole.
Square peg, round hole. So I was just wondering if there was some similarities or some type of correlation between like treatment and education, if I'm just tripping. But anyway, I've just kind of lost track of that. So, yeah. So you know, thanks. You know, for jumping into that. I didn't, like I said, I really didn't expect us to jump into some of the stuff of today's news. But it's good to hear that you brought it up. So thank you for that.
I kind of feel like I spun you out though, man, because you're throwing a lot of things out there, you know, all at the same time, and each one deserves its own recognition. But you were putting it out like, you know, it's this on top of this on top of this on top of this. And it's not like it's happened in a short period of time. This is how it's been, you know, and I don't know, you know, what the intention of the public school system is in Chicago. I don't know what the intention of the public school system is nationally. My point was, why would anybody want to go to a school that doesn't teach them who they are, but tell them they need to learn what we teach so that they can go out and be plentiful and multiply when they're going to be totally ill-prepared to deal not only with the rigors of competition, but already operating against the grain of equal treatment. You know, so that one article just raised, you know, my brow in regarding black women just in particular about, you know, when obtaining tenure, black women have never been underqualified, which means they've done all their due diligence. They've gotten, you know, everything that's been required of them to step out into the work world and be recognized, never underqualified, but have always been overlooked. That's not the kind of thing that could just be said and then we move on to the next thing in news. Oh, and the next item is Trump, follower, Trump backing. You know, no, when it comes to black people in America, we should be something more than just a, oh, yeah, by the way, footnote. You know, these are the issues that we're dealing with. When there's an issue in using Florida as the example, that a young brother gets fired because, he resigns. Because in the school system, he posted in his classroom with the approval of his supervisor posters on his board in his room in his school where 90% are black, and he posted these items of black figures in history, including Barack Obama, and the administrator took all the posters down off of his bulletin board because The administrator said that children should not be traumatized by this type of history, you know, and he resigned. That should be a national disgrace, you know, but it gets put to the side because it's more important things we deal with, like Trump backers have a good chance of winning the election. You know, I mean, people Trump back has a good chance of winning the election. And who knows, maybe in 2024, Trump is going to run for, how can this be the concern? But anyway, so that's what, you know, like now I'm throwing a whole lot of things out there at once. So maybe we ought to just back up, take a breath, and stick to the script. Tonight is supposed to be about an ongoing thing of developing a personal program for healthy well-being. You know, right. And so that's what I had asked you earlier. Are we even going to deal with the issues of political or social commentary? Or are we just going to stick to the script at hand? And obviously, I spun it out right away, wasted half the show talking about the very stuff that we said we weren't even going to engage. So, you know, sorry I got you all cranked up. You know, sorry I wasted half the show, you know, talking about things that we didn't even need to talk about. And I'm sure not going to continue with this conversation. I see your comment in the chat room, Adam, but I really want to step away from all that and just get back, if it's all right with you, Will, just get back into, you know, the value of the ongoing discussion on developing a healthy personal program, developing a personal program for healthy well-being. And tonight's topic was on exercise, you know, and just to recap right quick, the other components of the healthy program that we've covered has been, I think we started out with prayer, you know, and we talked some about reading. And then last Wednesday, we talked about mentoring. And you had mentioned mentoring being one of the tougher areas for you in approaching. And we've talked about it after the show, and we've talked about it, you know, in private since the show. And mentoring, I think, is kind of tough, mainly because it's going to require a person, you know, to be able to self-disclose. And self-disclosure is not, you know, something that is easily done by so many. You know, so many individuals have a difficult time talking about and confiding to others about their innermost struggles, you know, what we may call innermost secrets. You know, there was a saying in the circle of my early stages of recovery. And it was that we're only as sick as our secrets. And I think therein lies, you know, the rub for so many, you know, that we talk around the issues that are just wearing us down to a nub, but we never talk about what those issues are that are wearing us down to a nub. So we wind up pursuing other things to distract ourselves from our secrets, you know, because by God, I'm not going to tell you anything about me that might help me feel better. Instead, I'll just talk about the things I'm comfortable with, hoping that you approve of me enough, and through your approval, I'll feel better. No, we're only as sick as our secret. You know, and I realize the trauma, especially for black folks from slavery. Yeah, I'm going to keep on hammering that. I don't care how tired people get of hearing it. We only tired of hearing it because we're tired of our denial about it and its long-term effects on how hard it is, you know, for folks to disclose, to self-disclose, to talk about the traumas of childhood in our own homes, you know, all too often from our own parents or from guardians. You know, black folks by and large don't talk about mental and physical and sexual abuse, you know, within our own homes, you know, and it just translates into the way we try to communicate, the way we try to interact, the way we try to develop healthy relationships with the scar tissue already in place. So many of us are, you know, discouraged from seeking outside help by having been told all our lives, you know, you never air your dirty laundry in public. So our family secrets just die with us, but in the meantime, it's continued on with those who come behind us. You know, I spent time talking with my Aunt Edith. She's 107 years old now. And I spent time talking with her a few years ago. And it's the first time I ever sat down and talked with her. And she said things to me that just filled in so many holes in my family. You know, it didn't fix anything. It didn't solve anything. But at least it explained to me why I have felt like I have felt about my own place in my family system in comparison to how I've seen others and witnessed others live, but never talk about as it has impacted on their struggles in their own lives. It's just been this continuum of this denial that has caused so much strife within our families as a system. But on the external, we present it like, oh, you know, we got it. We got it going on. We the bomb. But internally, it's just so many complexes of incomplete self-esteem that so many of us are defined by our complexes and not by who we really are supposed to be here to fulfill. And so anyway, this personal program, you know, has these components, these seven, eight, you know, now it's grown to eight, right, that include prayer, meditation, reading, exercise, mentor, group, nutrition, and writing. You know, all those components of suggested components of developing a healthy personal developing a personal program for healthy well-being. You know, and we've been talking about each one and what the value of each one is based on how we discuss it. And tonight, on the theme of exercise, but yet the importance, what we've talked about in the past couple of weeks, of understanding where I might find myself deficient in one, I have the other seven to help lift me up and help strengthen the area or areas where I, you know, where I'm not as strong. So even, you know, the theme of, you know, mentoring, what we talked about last week, you know, here's a story I just want to share right quick. First of all, a mentor is one who assumes responsibility for a person or group doing instruction. You know, the old saying, right, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, also has another aspect to it. It's kind of a vice versa effect that appeals to me, and that is when the teacher is ready, the student appears. See, it's a give and take. You know, it's one is no more effective, you know, than the other. You know, in order for me to be a teacher, I remember once I was talking to my cousin Marty, and he said something in our conversation. He said, you know, I think I said, now that, you know, I probably said something like, you know, I'm about to ask a stupid question. And he said, man, there ain't no stupid questions, only stupid answers. And that just, you know, he was like the dean of student services at a college in the south side of Chicago. So this is how long ago it was, you know, another lifetime. But I never forgot, you know, that the profundity of that statement. There ain't no stupid questions, just stupid answers. So when the teacher is ready, the student appears. But too many teachers think they're ready, and so they give students stupid answers. You know, it's like the student is ready, you know, just waiting for the teacher to appear. So, you know, sometimes mentoring works the same way. And just a quick story to reflect what I mean by that. You know, it's one of my favorites, and it has to do with old Bill. I'm using my name. You know, he was plodding his way through life, right, and so weighed down by his woes that he didn't notice a big pothole that was right in front of him. So, of course, inevitably, he tumbled right into the hole, and he couldn't get out. So while he's down in this deep, dark hole, he started just crying out for help, you know, and eventually a doctor appeared, and Bill yelled up and said, hey, I'm down in this hole, and I can't get out. Can you help me? So the doctor peered down, pulled out his pad, wrote out a prescription, and tossed it down into the hole. Well, Bill still couldn't get out. So he was yelling again, and then somebody came by, a priest, and he said, hey, Father, I'm down here in this hole, and I'm trapped, and I can't get out. Can you help me? Well, the priest put out his little pad, wrote out a prayer, tossed it down. You know, well, Bill's still stuck in the hole, so he's still yelling out for help. And just then a partner of his passed by that he recognized. He said, hey, Joe, it's me, Bill. And Joe looked out and said, Bill, what you doing down this hole? He said, man, I've fallen down and I can't get out. Can you help me? Without hesitation, Joe jumped down into the hole, you know, and Bill looked at him, you know, kind of dismayed, you know, and said, okay, thanks for jumping down, but now you're stuck down here with me. You know, what help is that? So, you know, Joe looked at him and said, yeah, you're right. I am down here with you. But what you don't understand, Bill, is that I've been down in this hole before, and I know the way out. You know, and I think that's what the whole point of a healthy mentor is, you know, not just someone who will jump down in a hole with me as I'm crying out for help, but someone who can show me the way out, you know, and that seems to be the hardest thing for people to take on, to consider, you know, to contemplate, you know, who can I look for that can show me the way out of this hole that I've dug for myself. Now, other areas in my life may be fine, and almost always it is. You know, there's people who do absolutely wonderful with so many other aspects of their own lives, like, you know, providing for family, let's say, you know, being, you know, an active participant in church activities, always showing up for work, you know, things like, you know. But somewhere in the deep, dark hole of the soul is this spot that I just can't seem to get out of. And it's not like I don't know I'm down in here. I just don't know if I want to cry out for help. You know, I don't know if I, you know, it's a crazy kind of entrapment that says, do I really want to risk being shown the way out of this hole, or would I just rather accept what I'm familiar with by being in this hole? I don't even want to call it pain or any of them things. You know, it's just sometimes a person can get so overwhelmed by one aspect of life, you know, where the others are functioning fine, that we'll just use the other aspects of life, you know, to compensate for the whole. And that works if the rest of life is functioning. The personal program is indicative of that. Like if I'm on top of prayer, if I'm on top of, you know, meditation, if I'm on top of exercise, if I'm on top of interacting with others, if I'm eating well, you know, then I don't really have to talk to anybody about the one place in my life where I still feel so incomplete. You know, I'd rather just take it out on those who I have decided are supposed to fill the gap, you know, whether it be a spouse or a significant other or a child or you know, a friend, you know, where I don't want to confront myself. I'll just make you responsible for fixing or repairing or filling this hole for me, you know, where I might not, you know, be able to reach out to my significant other and, in the whole point of our union, in the whole point of our being together, is to be an equal part of the whole, is to be one for the other. But since the other is deficient in doing this for me, let me assign that task to somebody else. Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, Will, if it's ever happened to you, but it's happened to me, you know, where especially in my counseling life, where I may get a call from somebody, not a client or anything, just a friend of a friend, and you know, they'll call me up for advice. You know, they'll call me up for, you know, not really for advice, just to complain, you know. But, you know, they're not calling it complaining, they're complaining. They're calling it a conversation. It's going on and on and on. Right. And so I said, well, have you tried? Yeah, you tried that. Well, have you tried? Yeah, tried it. Well, what about, yeah. So then finally in my own frustration, I'll say something like, well, look, everything I recommend, you've already tried and it doesn't work. Why the hell do you keep calling me? And then they'll say, oh, because I feel so much better after we talk. You know, but I ain't shit got fixed. You know, but that's not the point. I'm using you to fill the hole of my incompletion. Yeah. I'm not looking for you to fix anything. You're just doing for me what others who are supposed to do it for me haven't done. And this is how, you know, this is where the secrets develop. So what do? I take my frustration and I take it to somebody else. And, you know, hopefully I'll take it to a professional. But all too often I'll shortcut it and take it to another loving one. And I'll complain about such and such. And then now I've done the same thing to them. You know, and what we don't do, especially in the Black family system, what we don't do, what we just, I guess we learned so effectively from slavery, gather together, you know, as a collective. We don't ever gather together that would complete the wholeness. We don't ever gather together to talk about a singular issue from our own perspectives. And it may be a person. It may very well be a person that has, you know, an equal effect on all of us, but all of us go to others instead of directing and combining our resources to address the issue at hand. Not the person. It's not a ganging up on him. It's not doing that kind of intervention. It's like, no, everybody, an equal part of this gathering, expresses what it is that has caused us all so much strife. So it might be a person with some mental issues, you know, but fine. I'm not one who's well-versed on how to contend with your mental issues. So I think you'd be doing this shit on purpose. And then maybe somebody else says, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, there's medication that's necessary to be taken that helps stabilize the person. And somebody else may say, well, stabilization don't mean nothing if the person can't be honest. And then the person may say, what are you talking about? I take my medication. I do express how I feel, but none of y'all seem to understand what I'm dealing with. So we all get an equal part in talking about not a solution, but how the presented problem is affecting us all. And what we find out is the things we talk about are symptoms. And what we don't have is an answer to the problem that has never been explained, has never been diagnosed, has never been treated, has never been discussed. And I tell you right now, within the Black family system, we're dealing with a dynamic that has been overlooked since slavery. You know, what is normalcy? What is freedom, you know, within the Black family system? What is freedom within the Black family system that we can expect to engage when we step out into the real world? You know, we don't have answers for that because we don't have questions that those in charge of our well-being have never been challenged to provide. So what we do have, the ability to develop a personal program for healthy well-being. We have a suggested, you know, eight-step approach that can help start building that kind of healthy relating. And one of the ones mentoring, you know, that you mentioned, you know, that goes so overlooked as far as its value is concerned, very difficult, you know, to talk about that, which it's always sabotaged within the Black family system. It may be like that with all family systems in America. I would venture to say it probably is. My only concern is the one that has affected me the most, which is the Black family system. But yeah, probably, you know, and I'm sure that the school thing that you put up, that you posted, I'm sure they're not all Black schools, you know, but it's a decay in the educational system itself. And that's where the breakdown is. So, you know, mentoring, you know, helps a person be able to, through healthy consultation, you know, trusted consultation, begin to identify what needs to be done to help fill this hole that has existed forever in my life since I can recall. And, you know, that's the part of dysfunction that mentoring can help address. Now, exercise. Okay, what the hell does that have to do with exercise? Well, you know, there are physical benefits to exercise, and there are mental health benefits to exercise. But before I even get into any of that, Wilfredo, any questions, thoughts, comments you want to make?
With the mentoring in your story with Joe and Bill, and, you know, I don't normally you're the one that quotes scriptures, or, you know, JP might come on, or even Ray. You guys are quick to quote scriptures, but there is one that I'm reminded of, and I wanted to share it, and I was ready for it last week, actually, and you mentioned the story, and I just wanted to share Ecclesiastes. I hope I said that correctly.
Yeah. Ecclesiastes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. Just very briefly, we can get into exercise, but it states, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls now, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. I think when we talk about the hole, shoot, man, the hole could be filled with something or it could be empty. I think the whole thing is just that hole itself, and whatever we do with that hole, I think, is that burden or that task or whatever it is that you fill in that underlined word. But the fact that there's this hole, there's this burden, there's this thing, whether it's full or it's empty, it's there. And it's just a matter of how we deal with it. I'm like, oh, I can take care of it myself. I don't need anyone to help me. I can figure it out, you know, and I'm still in the hole, you know. So I just wanted to share that Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 10.
And be aware, though, beware. You don't want nobody jumping in the hole down there with you who don't know the way out.
Absolutely.
You know,
man.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, now we got, you know, now we got a double bind going on here. You know, both of us now get to talk about who's the most miserable. Well, there are relationships like that. People, you know, jump down in the hole and have nothing else to offer than the company of misery. So,
if I can again just kind of just throw this out here for the people that are listening. Again, when Dad and I are talking about this personal program, this is something that we've had in, this is what we have used for years now within our own inner circle with me, him, and my two brothers, with his two sons, with his, you know, his three sons. No, 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 no. Anyway, so your personal program, ladies and gentlemen, may be different. But what, you know, the main thing that I think I can speak for you, Dad. The thing that we want you all to remember is that whatever your personal program is, whatever your steps are for, you know, your personal improvement, that remember that there's really no order. And again, I think Dad mentioned this a minute ago, that one isn't important than the other. So don't get into this yoke, if you will, of trying to prioritize and things like that. The thing is that these steps, whatever your steps are, they work as a team, you know, and like we mentioned, like I mentioned, you know, mentoring for me has always been kind of difficult, but you see, I'm quick to give you a quote, a scripture quote, you know, so there's still something there that I'm learning that's helping me to understand about mentoring. And even I just mentioned as far as like my ego and what's hindering me from advancing in my steps of mentoring, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there and just to let you all know, you know, whatever your steps are, it's all about how these steps can help you. And even if you're lacking in one, don't beat yourself up about it. You know, you're identifying this as your personal program, and this is what's supposed to help you. So.
Well, I would love to hear some additional aspects to it, you know, like prayer, meditation, reading, exercise, mentor, group, nutrition, writing. Yeah, I'd love to expand the list. You know, people have the option of shortening the list, no question. And then again, you know, why even have one if, in fact, your life is fine? You know, so this isn't for, you know, like church ain't for the saints, it's for the sinners. So if you got it, then, you know, great. Then there's no issue, you know. But if you don't, if there's a hole, if there's an aspect, consider, you know, using different devices to help fill that hole. you know, there's a hole in my soul. Maybe I need more prayer. Maybe I need to understand the quality of meditation. Maybe I need to, what we talked about last week, develop a clear understanding of the benefit of reading. What am I reading and why am I reading it and how is it helping where this hole is? Maybe I need to take time to consider. You know, fine, I can read for entertainment. I can read for relaxation. I can read for joy. Fine. You know, all I need to ask myself is that reading I'm doing has helped fill the hole. You know, exercise. That is generally the most neglected component of a personal program. Obviously, exercise is something that comes easy for the younger than the older or the aging or whatever the case may be. But that's not to suggest exercise was the only component of healthy well-being that we had to deal with as teenagers. You know, yeah, we were, you know, we were outside because we hated to be inside. And we hated to be inside because that's where I got abused, as an example. You know, so again, as we develop along, you know, the avenues of life, it's important to identify the hole. And if the hole ain't there, then this whole conversation that we've been having for the last week ain't for that particular listener. Instead, I would hope that person would call in and say, hey, this is what I've done to fill the hole. I'm living on top of the mountain, and this is what y'all missing. I'd love to hear somebody talk about that. You know, I would love to hear somebody say, I found that the way that I feel whole is by not praying. I don't need God. You know, I found out, you know, that there is no God. I found out that you just live, you do what you can, you make what you can, and then you die. And it doesn't matter if the way you live affects everybody else around you. They're going to die too. So, you know, why even waste time with all this, you know, this talk about these things that are necessary? They ain't necessary. So exercise, being the one that is neglected the most, you know, what benefits it has is like what most people already know. There's nothing that's going to be said probably that's going to, like, shake anybody in their boots. But sometimes the most valuable thing that we can get in a gathering like this right now, in a topic of discussion like this, is a reminder of something that I have forgotten. You know, I don't know about you, Wilfredo, but it's very easy for me to lull myself to sleep about so many things. You know, I lull myself to sleep about God. You know, I'll lull myself to sleep about the value of prayer. I'll just tell myself at given times, wait a minute, you know, I won't even say I don't need to. It's just my behavior will dictate the fact that in so many times, you know, I'll go to somebody to complain about somebody else, you know, and I'll feel justified. I probably did it just yesterday. Give me a chance if I think about it long enough. Probably did it today. You know, at the point being that I'll go to somebody else to complain about another person's behavior before I take it to God. You know, before I even consider taking it to praying about it, you know, before I even consider taking it as a prayer and then through meditation seek a response, I'll go the easy short way. Go complain to somebody else. So exercise kind of works the same way in so many different, you know, man, like, What are some of the ways I've justified not exercising? Oh, I ain't got enough money to join a health club. Oh, okay. I for my age, I do pretty good. I mean, you know, I walk to the bathroom. I climb stairs every day. You know, I think a good game. You know, I sit in my chair and you know, I'll lift my arms. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's other things that others will come up with to justify not doing anything, you know. And all I know is that I can talk about all the other things, and I'll use them as a disguise, you know, to hide the fact that, no, you know, I don't get up off my lazy ass and actually go for a walk. And I don't mean a lazy walk. I mean, you know, a walk with some intention, you know, because a lazy walk ain't going to go very far. You know, I'll convince myself, hey, it's good enough. But a walk with intention sets things in motion. You know, just something like that. You know, just doing, you know, push-ups. Maybe push up. You know, just starting with one. You know, just get down on the floor. You know, oh my God. You know, it's too hard to get down on the floor. Help, I'm falling and I can't get up.
Oh my God.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, anyway, you know, exercise doesn't have to be such a Catholic idea. You know, it doesn't have to be pain and shame. You know, it's motion.
Penance.
All it is motion. You know, huh? What'd you say?
Pittance.
I didn't hear.
I gotta serve my pittance, my pain.
Oh, pittance. Yeah. You know, so what is exercise? Activity requiring physical exertion when performed to maintain or develop fitness physically as well as mentally. You know, drinking water. Man, wouldn't it be great? Well, maybe you're too young to have this as a consideration. Maybe not. But wouldn't it be great, you know, if we went to a doctor who, you know, with a complaint and they prescribed a medication to help fix it, but wouldn't it be great if also part of the medication was water? In other words, I had to kind of health plan it. I go to get my prescription filled, but part of the prescription also included, you know, I got my little vial with whatever it is that I got to take, you know, but I also get this big bag of bottled water because that's part of the prescription, that I got to drink 6 bottles of this water every day when I take this medication in order for the medication to work. You know, wouldn't that be like it comes as a part of the prescription, you know, that it's a requirement to take, you know, instead of, you know, somebody saying, well, you know, you need to drink a gallon of water, flush out your impurity, blah, blah. Wouldn't it be great if that was also included with the medication? Because almost all medications suggest drinking water, but it never comes with the water. But, you know, doc, you got to understand, I sabotage my own well-being. So reading what the instructions say ain't going to help me if it says it's suggested. Doc, you know, put my water in with the same medication. So when I come back to you to get my prescription refilled, I also got to get the water refilled, you know, or, you know, like you ain't going to, you know, give me the same prescription again because I'm abusing it. I'm not taking it like it's needed. But we don't do like that. You know, instead, you know, we're left to our own devices to, even after we seek help from others, we still tend to look for the most convenient. Adam put something in the chat room. He said, we need to learn how to listen, not try to solve a problem before we even know what it is. And that is going to take dialogue. That's going to take a willingness to be vulnerable. That's going to take tolerance. It's going to take patience. It's going to take understanding where I have lack of understanding. You know, it's going to take that kind of encouragement, you know, to hear before I respond and to listen to what's being said. I think with enough practice, a family who already has a shared experience of a given frustration isn't going to talk about something that others can't relate to. It's just the willingness to be a part of that which will help better relate. So, yeah, listening, dialogue, healthy interaction, you know, even healthy interaction that may come with a price tag. It may be argumentative, you know, but it doesn't mean it has to get physical, you know. But it also requires an understanding of what won't be an effective way to communicate. And, you know, honesty will have to dictate. I'm talking to somebody, you know, in my family who is, you know, like not overweight, you know, but overweight with complaints. You know, the difference, the subtle difference. And the complaints may be, in fact, medical. You know, it may be like, you know, doc is saying, you know, that weight gain isn't going to help the possibility of developing what your family has already shown through its own history, you know, you're susceptible to diabetes, you know, type 2, and your diet's not helping the situation any, you know, and that's not the kind of conversation a family needs to have, and they're serving, you know, donuts, you know. Yeah, and orange juice, you know, like, So, yeah, but can we, you know, can we talk about it without offending, you know? But no, some, you know, don't know how to not offend, so they'll say something like, you're fat. And, okay, so how do we deal with it? You know, how do we deal with that as an example? And so, you know. Man, I guess the idea of exercise on an individual basis is to understand the value of developing the kind of program that can help an individual have a sense of healthy well-being. I see we got somebody whose number I recognize. They got their hand up in the chat room. You want to bring them in, man?
Area code 630-660. Area code 630-660. Good evening. Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
I was just sitting here. I was just laughing.
What's up, man? Stuff.
You know, like exercising, boy. You know, but I found that I've got to make myself get up and do my walk every day. I've discovered that it doesn't get easy. I think that's the trap. That people think, well, you know, if I do it a couple of days, I'll get into a habit. Nope. At least for me. When I get up every day, you said your push-ups, boy, you know, I might, you know, I did six today.
That's six was harder than me. I had good intentions.
But
I never made it out the chair.
but the point that, you know, I was talking to someone, we were at a gathering, Penny and I, a couple of weekends ago, and I was, and, you know, I was, we were just, somehow that became the conversation about exercising. And I said, once I discovered that each day I'm going to wake up and say, well, I'm not going to do this today, and I go ahead and do it anyway.
Mm.
What I've learned is that that is what I'm faced with every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then the word that we don't like to say is the word discipline.
Yeah.
That's what it takes.
Ah, discipline.
And always
feel
better after I do my walk.
Yeah. Amen. Right on, man.
And it's just
right on, Mark.
It's making that decision, and I mean, you know, boy, that just don't sound like fun. Well, feeling healthy is fun. After I walk is fun, but getting up, but I just get up and go do it, and we don't do that, you know, adults, and particularly as we get older, we're saving our own lives.
Yeah, man. Yeah, straight talk, man.
Water.
You know.
For the longest time, I thought Pepsi-Cola was water. You know. That was my water.
It's got water in it. That's close enough. You know, so I read something. Somebody said, all liquids count. Oh, okay. That's all I needed to hear. So give me a six-pack of beer.
Can I drink a bottle of syrup?
You know, it's liquid. You know, yeah, man. You know,
yeah,
right on, man.
Water,
that's great talk. Yeah.
And you have,
good
you
word.
Have always been a water drinker, Bill. I've always had to make myself drink water.
You know, and I, like so many other things, I got distracted from a regular thing. And whatever the reason, right? And we all got to, you know, get distracted from something. That's what I meant by reminder. Healthy reminders come along. They're not there to make us, to beat us up with. It's like a reminder. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. I can
Yeah, I love what you said about the doctor.
Yeah.
That would be outstanding. Yeah. That's an outstanding idea.
Man.
That's an outstanding idea.
Yeah, yeah, you know?
Wow.
You know,
because water makes your joints better. It just makes everything better.
And you know how we are as a people, meaning black folks, you know, the doctor is, you know, right, sits in the throne next to God. You know, my doctor says.
Yeah.
So if my
doctor says,
you know, drink this water, and if I go to get my prescription for something because, like, high blood pressure because I'm eating too much salt, oh, well, here, you got to drink 6 bottles of water a day. You know, so,
yeah.
That'll start, you know,
that'll wash some of that out of you. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
But my doctor is saying it, you know, so it's part of my prescription.
Yeah.
Chances are I'm going to do it then, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
so that's the idea behind that. You know, just like, you know, if I have a mentor who's like a God enthusiast, whatever that title might be, and if they're saying to me as a mentor, you know, you might want to consider prayer as part of your daily routine, you know?
Yeah.
If I have somebody in my family who's an athlete, you know, and I'm struggling with trying to get some kind of physical discipline going, and this athlete relative says, you know, Uncle, you might want to go up and down these stairs 10 times a day.
There you go.
You know.
And many of us, me included, I have 2 flights of stairs in my house.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And you know what? It's interesting you say that. What I've started doing is doing 2 steps at a time instead of one.
Yeah, I hear
you. Just something as simple as that.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing you mentioned that's so powerful. We make stuff too complicated sometimes.
Man.
You know, like, I gotta get a health club membership. I just get up in the morning and go out and walk for 45 minutes. I don't need a minute. It's free.
Marty, how many health clubs did we belong to growing up?
Yeah, well, you know, the main one we had was the one right outside the door.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
that was the health club.
You know, and it was free.
Yeah,
you know, last I checked, outside still exists.
Outside, you know, it's like, you know, some stuff we make it harder than it is.
Man.
I heard a simple solution for losing weight, and this person said, "Eat less and move more."
And exercise or move more, right? Eat less.
Eat less.
Move more.
Move more.
And so the question, and so, you know, we live in a time of information is right at our fingertips. So I don't have the benefit of ignorance like I had when I was 12 or 15 or 20. You know, that's right. So nutrition, I hear this word. Let me look the word up and see what it is. Oh, this is nutrition. Okay, and so, you know, I remember seeing the chart of food groups and all that, you know, when I was going, let me see what's healthy foods. Oh, you mean, I can't get by with the egg McMuffin for breakfast and Kentucky fried for lunch and red beans
and
rice.
Sandwich, and a pork chop sandwich for dinner.
With red beans, right? But
and wash it down with 4 cold beers, and then eat me a whole and a box of chocolate chip cookies and go to bed.
No, but wash it down with Diet Coke, because now I have Diet Coke, it's an acceptable, you know, acceptable meal.
Yeah.
You know, man, or my milkshake got milk in it, or like my favorite, carrot cake. It has that little icing of a carrot. That's got to be healthy.
Carrots. So it must be fine.
Man. Mark, man, it's good to hear your voice.
I've been listening for about a half an hour, man.
I recognized your number, man. I was just so glad to see.
Yeah.
See, when somebody hits the queue, it's like a hand goes up. That's what the icon looks like. So I was so glad to see your hand go up, you know, man, right on. Hey, we got somebody else in the queue. Can you hold on, man? I just want to.
Of course.
You know,
because
we're kind of in overtime right now. So, Will, you want to bring in the next person? I have no idea who that is.
Area code 773-425-773-425. Thanks for calling into the Green Health Effect Radio Show. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good.
Hey, what can we do for you tonight? What's on your mind?
I'm just digging the show, man. I've been listening to it this whole time. We used to work together. I'm the guy that pushes trucks.
The guy that pushes trucks.
For fun.
Okay. Brother Jose, is that who this is?
Yes, sir.
Hey, man.
All right, man. Exercise, discipline, and prayer. I'm like, oh man, I gotta cash in on this.
Oh, this right guy on. Right here, man. This guy right here, yeah. He pulls trucks for real, man. This guy's like a strong man trainer, man. This guy's awesome.
Yeah.
When they
it's easy to do. I mean, you eat breakfast every morning, right?
Right.
Usually, breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So fitness exercise is the same thing. It's just like breakfast. It's a routine. It's a habit. You know that you got to do. Walking to the store, that counts as exercise. You know, sitting down, that's exercise. Any movement is really exercise if you really think about it. It's how much of it are you, you know, a day you're doing it, you know. I mean, that's the way I always look at fitness, and I'm probably the laziest person you've ever met in your life.
Right. So,
but at the same time, because of the discipline, though, you know, it's a habit. You got to do it. You know, you got to go to church on Sunday. Exercise, same thing, hand in hand.
Amen. You know? I'm just with the idea of you suggested you're the laziest person, you know, that you there's a little lazier person, I think, that's probably been lazier a little longer.
It's a habit, though. It has to be a habit.
Amen.
You know, like when you leave the washroom, hopefully you wash your hands, right?
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. It's always been the same thing. It's just people don't see it that way. They see it as a burden. You know, water.
The water thing.
You guys drop the water thing. That's my biggest thing. That's all I drink is water.
Yeah.
You know, soda. Yeah. I don't even drink juice. You know, just water. You want to be healthy. Yeah. Well, you just tell yourself, well, I want to be healthy. So if I really want to be healthy, yeah, I'll just drink water.
Yeah.
You know.
Can you hold your thought for just a moment? First of all, Mark, I hope you're still with us. But there's one other person I want to bring in right quick, if I may.
JP and got JP tattooed on her, and JP keeping up with money on her boots.
Hey,
I'm a definite person, though.
My other partner,
he over there with Pooh Shicey.
All right. That's what I get for bringing him in without telling him.
Yeah, that's what happens sometimes.
Well, let's get Adam in here, man. You know, Adam's been a, you know, Adam, you're on the line, man.
Thank you for the heads up.
we're just trying to get everybody in who's out here, man, because, you know, we're in overtime already. We're going to be wrapping it up. So if there's, you know, quick commentary that you want to throw out there, man, you know, this is the time to do it. Yeah.
No, but I agree, Will, with what your boy was saying about, you know, working out and exercising. It is a habit. It's like getting up in the morning and making a pot of coffee, or, you know, for me, unfortunately, smoking a cigarette or doing anything like that.
It's a habit.
Like when I was running, I would get up in the morning, and the first thing I would do is I would get up and go for a run. So it was absolutely, you know, a habit in my life. So, no, I completely agree with what he was saying.
Yeah. I need to let your uncle know. Marty, I had to put you on mute because you were live and you're making your comments. Well, no, I just should have told you your line is still open.
Yeah,
I will see what more
I thought I'd see it right now. They
see if I can get past it and chill out for a second. No, he's still going. Okay. Anyway, just wanted to try to get everybody on, just to go ahead and make your comments, man. I guess, Jose, I don't know, Will, you have to apologize to him. I guess maybe I insulted him by bringing Adam in, and I wasn't trying to cut him off. I just wanted to open it up for all the comments for tonight, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened,
but, you know, yeah, it was good, and thanks, Brother Joe, Brother Jose, for calling in. And, you know, you and Marty made a great point. You know, and Adam and Joe and all of you guys made the great point about just the things that we do can be considered exercise, and that we make things so much more difficult. You know, we put so much more stress and pressure on ourselves and not realizing the things that we do in, you know, every day, you know.
But
I think just
ignore the comment. Go ahead. Sorry, Will.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just can't ignore the comment Marty made that, you know, really goes right back to what we talked about last week, you know, less. You know, what Ray talked about, you know, there's no program out here for exercise that can compensate for poor diet. You know, so I can get up.
Right.
I can do the Adam thing every morning, get up and run. But, you know, like what Marty Hines used to say to me after we would go play ball all morning and then go to his crib to read scripture, we stop at White Hen. I grabbed me a Long John and a Gatorade, you know, and we sit down at the table. And the first thing he would say, he said, man, you're giving it all back, you know. And
giving it all back.
Right there, giving it all back, you know.
Giving it all back.
And if there's one thing that remains consistent in our personal program, and even applying it to exercise, is intention. I think we have to, you know, have that intention in mind, and how it goes, you know, just have that positive intention. I mean, for me, I'm happy with just getting down, and I mean, yeah, I might just do 5 or 10 push-ups, you know, and I know some people are like, that's it.
Right.
That's it. That's all you're going to do. That's it. But, you know, but at least I can do these 5 or 10 every day to build that habit, to build that intention, you know.
And
then maybe I'll do
something right
later.
Quick, man. That person is saying, that's it, 5 or 10. That's somebody that ain't done one. Anybody who's done more ain't going to do nothing but applaud those 5 or 10, you know. It's always the person that ain't done nothing that's going to say, that's all? You know, and that applies to so many other things in life. You know, that's all you got. I'm sorry, Will, I cut you off, man. I just wanted to sneak that.
No, that was it.
That's all I just wanted to add on to that.
So Bill, real quick, if I can, when you were playing ball and you stopped at White Hen and got your food and your Gatorade, you earned that because you played ball.
That's what I said. You better believe it.
But his boy said you just erased it. But his boy said, but you just erased it.
No. You didn't erase anything. You're even right now.
Yeah.
You are dead
right
even
on,
right
Adam.
There.
Yeah. Right on, man.
Bill knows what I'm talking about. Bill, you should have had an IV of shakes coming into your bag while you was running. But man, I'm running now.
I'm out here. I'm out here running, right? And I'm going past the tables, and they be handing out water. Hey, give me that Long John. Water. Okay. No, Adam. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I earned it. But his point was, but in your earnings, you're giving your earnings back. You know, that was
well,
his point. Yeah, you did earn it. But what you earned, you just gave back. You know, a long time.
No, absolutely, you know? 100%. Absolutely.
But see, you got to understand, my long john came with chocolate icing and a filling.
But I'm going to be out here tomorrow again, and I'm going to work it off.
And I'm going right back to right here again.
And Bill do the running and playing ball and then wonder at the end of the month, why did I gain 10 pounds?
Yeah, yeah. Right, man. Oh, man, don't even yeah, man. You know, that's the reality of it. And, but, the, you know, we laugh, and, you know, but the point is that the habits develop even when certain aspects of it fall away. So I might be going out and hitting the pavement and all that, but in the meantime, also buying a donut or whatever. I stopped hitting the pavement, but see, that doesn't say, okay,
kept.
Then you stop buying a donut. Yeah, because that habit came with it. I just stopped hitting the pavement, you know, but, you know, the donut, hey, you know, there was no counter action to take about stopping that. You know, it's just so much, man, what you all are saying. It's so much to, Marty, what you were saying, just so much to the truth of it all that, you know, it's a discipline. You know,
it's
forget all the other words.
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom
discipline.
Line.
Man.
It's the discipline. It's the discipline part.
It's the discipline.
And that's the
part
that's hard. That's what's hard.
And that's the part that's hard.
In life.
And that's why, and that's why in this particular concept of these components of, you know, of a personal program for healthy well-being, it's the struggle with developing a discipline that comes with exercise. Not just exercise, but the discipline. Man, at least, you know, that's where my struggles exist, you know. I'm always looking for the easier, softer way. And for me, I exercised yesterday, so that means I could take the rest of the week off.
Right. Yeah.
You know, or it's 100 degrees outside. So when I went to get the mail, I started sweating. Yeah, man, good job. Yeah. No, man, just the discipline, man.
But what's the thing? If it was easy, everybody would do it.
There we go.
Well, okay, but we're talking about developing a personal program. And so if I'm about developing a personal program for healthy well-being, a word has just been offered, discipline. That doesn't matter whether it's hard or easy. That's just my rationale. That's my rationalizing. And that's my denial. It's discipline. You know, that's a non-compromising word. Can I develop discipline? If I can't, chances are I'm going to fail at any of these, no matter what it is, prayer, meditation, reading, mentor group, nutrition, writing. If I can't develop a discipline, chances are I'm not going to be successful with any of this. That's a heck of a word, man. Thank you for that. I'm writing that one down. You know.
It's like you, Uncle Marty, with bowling. You had the discipline.
Yeah.
You wanted to do it. And
well, okay, let me interject something there. Marty had the discipline. I had the dream. You know, like, I wanted to make the discipline the dream. You know, Marty had the discipline. I had the dream. You know, it's like the only way that dream could be realized was through the discipline. You know, when Marty was out there practicing, I was out there, you know. But anyway, right on. No, man, I know that which I speak of, you know. Oh, there was a time. Yeah, there was a time when we were, you know, we were had the same dream, you know. But Marty had the discipline.
My cousin could bowl, so it's got to leak off a little bit on me somehow.
but the thing is discipline. There's the difference. Yeah. See, there's no compensation for that. You either got it or you don't,
or
you desire it or you don't. You know, but there's nothing that can take the place of discipline. Nothing.
Yeah.
Believe me, I tried them all. I can give you the whole list from A to Z. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
Let me, I hate to jump in and interrupt everybody, but we're going to have to wind it up. Those that are listening online about to actually get cut off in about 45 seconds. So I do want to, before we do lose that connection, those of you on the phone line, you're good. So thank you. Cousin Marty, Adam,
Yes, sir.
Jose,
yeah.
Thanks for calling in as well. JP, sorry we couldn't get you, man. Just watch Mike next
we
time.
We tried. Yeah.
Funny stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hey, Bill,
exercise.
Let's talk tomorrow. Okay, Mark. Absolutely. Yep.
All right. So I guess we'll did you have anything else, Dad, you wanted to say before we
no,
get on
land,
out of here?
Land this airplane. Yeah, land this airplane, man. Amen.
All right.
Yes,
yeah. Everybody, thank you again. We're live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Hope to hear you all again Wednesday night. As always, please be
yeah.
safe, be blessed. Most importantly, be yourself because everybody else is taken. You all have a
Amen.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless. Amen. Right on.
Right on. Thank you, Mark. Thanks,
all
Adam.
Right.
Thank you, Pastor. Righty. All right, y'all. All
See
right.
you later. God bless everybody. Yeah.
Feeling this way, I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you'll stay, you'll be happy as I lie here.